Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, baby, take me in now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to your Saturday night edition of your Clocks Off Grudge Discussions radio show with your host, Mr. Fellowship himself, Uncle Larry, bringing back goodwill, fun, and integrity to the grudge game. He hails from the Midwest, great state of Illinois, and magnanimous city of Chicago. So grab your cell phones, tablets, and headsets, and get ready for the truth, and nothing but the truth will be brought to you by Clocks Off for the people of the grudge world. Come on in, participate, let your voice be heard. Look.
Many things has held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act. If you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well,
don't you let nothing, nothing.
Larry, what's going on, Larry? You have a full show. Come on in and take your show over, Larry.
What's going on, Mr. Gunnet Picks? How you doing? How you feeling, Gunnet Picks?
Oh, man, Larry, I'm just tired to death trying to get ready to get out of here and hit this show. You got a full show tonight. I see you got hands up already. So, Larry, shaking? What's going on with you tonight?
God, it ain't too much going on with me, man. You know, the Lord has blessed me, and I'm glad to be here once again, man, to kind of come in and open up a show and stuff again, man, to get a chance to talk with the people all over the world and a lot of the young guys, a lot of the guys I want to mostly speak to, a lot of the younger guys, I want to make sure I do my best to try to give them a little guidance because, you know, we got so much confusion and stuff out here, and I don't want the younger guys to become confused, kind of. And by me saying that, I'm saying that to this point and degree. A lot of people live by example, and a lot of examples are put forth in front of young guys, and a lot of time, a lot of them have strong will. They'll stand for their own beliefs and what they believe in, and a lot of them don't. A lot of them follow. You know, so with that being said, I'm saying it to this point and to this degree, Gunnet, that I feel like my job is to let them know things that I feel like they don't know. It's a lot in the game that I don't know everything about the game, but what I do know, I try to share it with them, you know. And I have to speak more so about safety. And the reason I want to speak about safety because it's a lot of people out here that feel that they can turn around and get involved into the grudge world and not really actually honestly truly know what safety is, you know. And when I'm saying that, it's to that degree, got it, where you got to be safe, got it. I don't care what you do. I don't care. And the game that we're involved in, it's a dangerous game, and you have to. You got to. Under all circumstances, you got to be safe, man. Would you agree?
I agree absolutely. You can always get another car, but playing with your life and putting yourself in a position of vulnerability to lose your life, that's not cool. You got a lot of guys out there that's what they like to do with the no cage racing. And, yeah, that's fine. But, you know, once again, as I've heard say, I have a better understanding of it now. When cars get so fast and when they run a certain number, you should be putting a cage in that car because you're playing with your life. You got those kids at home. But, Larry, you do have a caller. You do have a hand up. You want to go ahead and bring this caller in?
Sure. Why not bring him in? Got it.
All right. We have 224-6386. Your mic is open. State your name for the show.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing, man? It's the Smooth Criminal, baby.
Hey, hey.
All the way,
hey,
all the
up,
way
dude?
From Baltimore, man. Sitting here in Capitol Raceway. You know
okay,
how we
okay.
do it.
You're over at Capitol, huh?
Yeah, I'm a monster guy to show. I just happen to be in the area, so, you know, I got to get me some racing in if I'm driving 18 wheels. Bullshit ain't nothing. So, you know, they treat me with good hospitality up here, man. You know what I'm saying? So, it's good. It's good. It's good. They just had a little stop in racing. One of the cars that they tried to almost get off the wall, so they're trying to clean up the track a little bit, left some stuff on the track.
Okay, so you're at Capitol. So what races have you seen so far, if you don't mind? Yes.
Well, I just got here, Gunny, not too long ago, because, you know, I can't drive straight through like I want to. I had to stop and take some hours off, but I just got here. I saw a couple cars go down the track, you know, a couple Mustangs, you know, a nice Vega went down the track. Nothing grudging. You know, just going down yet, so I ain't seen no grudging yet, but I'm sure we're going to get something in.
All right. Well, you're in good hands. If you're the monster, you're most definitely in good hands. So go ahead and keep us posted. Keep us giving us these race updates, Smooth, if you don't mind. And
yeah, I'll keep you posted.
Absolutely. I'm going to leave your mic open, Smooth, if you don't mind. Yeah. Do you want to comment on what Larry was talking about?
Well, you know, Larry said it right. You know, we got to think about the safety. I don't know why, you know, it's over and over again, time and over and again, you can't trust these cars. You know what I'm saying? You can get in them, you know them, you love them, but you can't trust them because you never know what the track is going to do. You never know what your car is ready to do. And a lot of these guys, they probably, you know, they don't go through their whole car like they're supposed to. So, you know, we need to be stressing safety all the time. You know what I'm saying? Even these old heads, they come on and they talk about safety. They ain't playing. They ain't no joke. Like I said, a car just went down the track not too long ago and just scraped the wall a little bit. You know, he's good, but, you know what I'm saying, you never know what's going to happen.
Hey, you know what, Smooth Criminal?
Yes, sir.
You know, there's always a show. This show here is always, you know, you're welcome. This is your home here, man. And my thing with it is, the reason I'm speaking on this, man, because it's not really what you call an unsafe issue. It's not a safe issue. It's an unsafe issue. And the reason that it's an unsafe issue is because of the simple fact that a lot of times people have got away with a lot of things, man, you know. And it's no guarantee that because you got a fire suit on, because you got a helmet on, because you got that saying that you got 100% guaranteed that you're not going to get hurt. That's not the point that I'm trying to make. But my point I'm trying to make is that it will help. You know, so what would be saying that, you know, I've been hearing a whole lot about the infrastructure of the track, you know, We got background noise.
Yeah, I'm going to go on mute while you talk, because I'm at the track. So
oh,
I'll go on mute.
That was
that's
you?
Me.
That was you?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
yeah, that's me. I'm going to go on mute.
You keep right. Well, it's gone now. But what I'm saying is that, you know, if it's to an extent where we forget about the most important thing to us is when we go do what we do to enjoy ourselves and have our fun and so far and so on, the next step after that is to return back home, you know, and a lot of people are just taking that for granted. You know, I'm not taking it for granted, regardless of the fact of whether I'm in an automobile or not in an automobile, regardless of whether I'm racing or I'm not racing, I'm still a part of the grudge world. So with me being a part of the grudge world, I'm speaking out about this. And the reason that I'm speaking out about it is because of the simple fact that it is a very, very, very important issue. You know, and I don't want to see nobody get hurt. We need to go back to our safety, you all. We don't want to be hitting walls and all this here different kind of stuff and so far and so on. We don't want to be encouraged to nothing like that, you know, because, you know, in my own personal opinion, all of that's dangerous, man, because nobody has an idea what type of trajectory an automobile is going to have once it makes contact with a wall or so far and so on. You know, the thing of the matter, if you're able to, if something like that happens, shut it down, man. Don't encourage yourself and don't endanger nobody else's life as well as your own life. You know, and I just think too much of that is being taken for granted, man. You know, and for those who are on the show tonight, if you all want to speak up on this issue, it would be fine, because y'all know anytime y'all got something to say, we're willing to listen to what anybody has to say about it. But I'm giving my own personal opinion because of the simple fact that when other people have their shows, I'm going to come in and I'm going to try to respect their shows, you know, because of the simple fact that I respect my own. So, you know, I try to live by example. But I feel like this is a thing, something that needs to be spoke upon, man, because it's taken too much for granted, man, you know. And everybody that's in the grudge world, man, I want to see everybody go back home to their family, man. You know, let's go in here and get this done. And let the Lord do what he do, and we do what we supposed to do, you know. And safety is one of them important factors. Would you agree with that, Smooth Criminal?
Yes, sir, I will agree with it. I don't have nothing to say with it because you said it in a nutshell. I agree with it 100%.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, Larry, before we get disconnected, I want to let the people know what's going on. I'm detecting a problem with Blog Talk Radio. We had a problem getting in, and I'm seeing what the problem is now. So, ladies and gentlemen, this will be a short show tonight. I apologize. I don't know what the problem all the way is, but I do see a problem here, and it looks like I'm hoping our show will go over a little bit and do something different. But if it doesn't, ladies and gentlemen, I do see a problem. But we're going to try to keep this show going, and we'll see what we see in just a second. Let me see here.
On my end, Gunner, I still left everything like it was, but I did shut down on the studio part. The rest of it, I'm still letting go as it is, and the computer's off. So if you find a way that we can correct this and get this straightened out, I'll continue the program. If not, then we just have to have a short program tonight because we have a technical difficulty.
That is correct. I'm saying that it is moving on. It's telling us we have another 2 minutes of the show left. But I'm hoping after 2 minutes that it go into the extra hour that they normally give us. I have to check some settings. But anyway, listen here, Larry. We have 773-3490 on the show. Your mic is open. State your name for the show.
What's happening, bro? Larry, what's up, Johnny?
All right.
What's going on, man? What's happening? Oh, brother, I was sitting there listening to you, man, and Smooth Criminal, man. I was listening to him, too. But you know, Larry, I want to say this. You're wrong in what you're saying. They should be able to hit the wall, do anything they want to do in their lane. And man, they should be able to do anything, because the reason I say that, because Wayne Hunter Keep It Real said so. And whatever Wayne Hunter Keep It Real says, that's the law. So they should be able to do anything they want to do in their lane. You understand me? They should be able to hit the wall, cut their damn neck off, whatever they want to do. They should be allowed to do it. That's what they think. They quick to tell you, me, like I said, you know, you ain't raised in 20 years. You know, I know school teachers that haven't been in class in 20 years, but did they stop learning? No, they didn't. So, you know, just because a person hadn't done something that they have a passion for, a love for, it doesn't change because they're not doing it. I know guys that retire from baseball, go to the game every day. Play all the time. You know, I think Michael Jordan still play basketball. He just don't play competitive on the national circuit no more. So what am I really saying? The only thing I'm really saying is they're not going to listen to a damn thing guys like yourself and myself say, because they said we old school, we don't know nothing, and we ain't raised in 20 years, and they the dumbest motherfuckers on the show, and you can't tell them nothing. But they want to come in and call you dumb and ignorant and stupid, all the stuff that has no bearings when it comes to you but fits every part of themselves. So they're not going to listen to you. So I repeat what I said. Let them hit the wall so they kill some motherfucker, they'll stop. Because a car's trajectory most definitely will change when they hit the wall. Now, another thing that's, you know, I heard some things the other night, and I bit my tongue to keep from saying some things that I don't want to say, but want to say. And tonight, if you notice, I'm talking very slow. I'm really trying to clean it up as I go. Listen, man, I heard some things Thursday that aggravated the brother, you know, but you have to not let it bother you. Aggravate you. The Bible says, get angry for sin not. And I try to be that guy. I try to get angry for sin not, you know. What I'm really saying is, when you say something out of experience, that's the best teacher in the world. Best teacher in the world. Been there and done that. So when a person don't listen to you, and then it happened to them, first thing crossed their mind, then the same thing going to say it to me, man. I wish I had listened, but now I'm sitting in a wheelchair. You understand what I'm saying? So as much as we hate it, as much as we wished it wasn't so, for whatever the reason is, I don't know, man. Because like you said, D, you ain't raced in 20 years. Well, you haven't raced your car in 20 years. I don't know the reason. I'm not at liberty to say why. But the South came up here with an eighth of a mile, hit the wall, cross the line, do whatever you can to win. And it seemed like it took the North by storm. And made them fall in love with it. I don't know. Maybe it's just not for me to say. You know, I really ain't the one to say. I don't know what's happening with that man. No more. I fought a fight with him last year, Grudge Racer, a year ago. And I got more flack from the North than I did from the South. But I kept fighting until I got a few things done and where I want them done. Well, this is a fight I'm choosing not to fight. You know.
Well, you want to know something? I'm going to say something to that, D. It ain't nothing for you to fight, D. You know, the only thing we can do is
fight.
And with us trying to tell them is like this here. Maybe you haven't raced in 20 years, but you got to remember this. How many years did you race? And you able to get on the microphone? You know, able to get on the microphone? So you couldn't have been too big of a fool. You understand what I'm saying? It's the one that don't want to listen.
Most of them are saying it.
Well, that's right. You know, but what we're going to do, we're going to see if anybody else got an opinion or what's going on tonight, man, because I'm dead serious about this. And the reason I'm so serious about this here is because I keep hearing a lot of rhetoric about this here. I don't feel as though when we did what we did on the streets, we turned around and we want to go to a safer environment. We want to go to a better environment. But how can we do that if we bring the streets with us? You know, so my thing with it is, it's just like Kid said, he said it the best. Oil and water don't mix, man. It does not mix, man. Like, that was a true statement. So with that being said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to say, do we have another, Gunner, do we have anybody else on the line? We want to get somebody else in on this conversation.
Hey, we got a grudge race about to go down, fellas.
We got
two bikes about to go down. We got one car calling, hell yeah. It's a Mustang going against the Copperhead. I think it's a 65 Nova.
Okay, hey, Smooth Crew.
All right.
Hey, Smooth Crew. Can you see the guy hit the wall earlier? Smooth Criminal. Hey, Larry, did he say a guy hit the wall out there early? He didn't get hurt.
I think he said somebody did hit the wall. There was a whole lot of debris or something on the track or something of that nature.
He won the race, Larry.
Well, he about to get down now. He wasn't the one that went down there, my brother. He wasn't the one that went down. There was another car down there. They was just testing. But now they're about to do some grudge racing now for sure.
Okay.
They got some bikes about to go down. I didn't get the name of them, but I know you got one car. I hear this brother on the radio show up east. Hell yeah. I hear him talking. So he going to race another car. I think he raced a 65 Nova.
And what is taking place at Smooth Criminal?
Capital Raceway out here in Baltimore.
Okay. Okay. Be more. Okay. All right. Got it.
Yes, sir.
Is there any more callers?
Absolutely. Okay. 708-2502. Your mic is open. State your name for the show.
All right. Big Rick.
What up, y'all? What up? This is Greg. What's happening,
what
everybody?
What's up, Greg? What's going on, Greg?
Hey, Greg.
Man, I can't call him, bro.
Sitting around
listening to y'all.
A beautiful day. It's going to be a beautiful day.
Yeah, it's a real good day today. I actually went to the track myself and watched a little racing myself to just to relax.
You went to the track?
I went to the track earlier today.
Man, I started asking you want to go earlier today, too.
All right. Drag, what track did you go to?
I had that box on my back. I want to duck off to the Grove so bad. I wanted to do, but I had to load. I had to get back in there.
That's where I went to Union Grove.
Oh,
to the Grove?
You got a race coming up. Drag, you got a race coming up in about 2 weeks not the Grove. You have a race coming up over in Missouri, at Sykes, Missouri.
May the 16th, we got the Midwest Grudge Fest. Saturday, May the 16th in Sykes, Missouri.
Okay, now, Drag, let me ask you a question. What's going on at your race, if you don't mind me asking, other than grudge racing? Do you have any shootouts?
Mainly grudge racing and testing and tuning, but we're going to try to add a gamblers race in there, you know, for the guys that, you know, still want to come and test their car, to do a little bracket racing or whatever the case is, then we'll add a gamblers race there. No big deal, you know, if we don't get a turnout for them guys, then, you know, the main forte is the grudge racing and, you know, the big testing tune.
All right, well, Drag, let me ask you a question. How does a gambler's race work?
Well, gambler race is a collaboration of all the guys that wants to pretty much dial in race. And from there, they get together and decide how much money they want to throw in, and then they run off a dial.
Okay. So the dial into the tree. And
same as a bracket race, but you know the money ain't put up by the track.
Okay. I got you. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So, Drag, what else is going on? You got a little bit of grudge racing going on. I know, see, Drag, a lot of people, whereas we do grudge racing, they forget the aspect that some people are just into drag racing overall as a whole. So you do have grudge racing on May 16th as a whole. You have a gamblers race. Anything else you have going on?
Test and tune all day, you know. I mean, if somebody's got a new car and they want to get it worked out at a good track, this is a really good track, you know, and the surface is going to be good, and take it from there.
No, but I got one more question. Is your main man Three Lug going to be there?
Yeah, it's shaping up that Three Lug will be in the house.
Okay, well, do me a favor, man. I'm going to send some bottles of No Dose. When I get you them bottles of No Dose, I want you to hold his head back and pinch his nose and pour that mess down over in his throat, okay, Drag? I appreciate that, Drag.
That's a good one, yeah.
I appreciate that one, Drag.
You roll for that one.
Hey, Three Lug is my man and all that. I have a tremendous amount of love for Three Lug. But, man, when it come down to racing, I got to call a spade, man. Three Lug, man. Whew. Man, please. Three Lug just be getting by. And I'm going to say it again, and I'm saying this one for Drag. If the Buick boys wouldn't have backfired, Three Lug would have went down.
Well, what would have happened last year if Three Lug would have blew his motor up?
I don't know. I didn't see last year, Drag. I can only speak to what I've seen.
We don't race the cars on what if.
Oh, well, absolutely. Now, like I said, like, you know what? Three Lug lost. Three Lug lost.
They lost the same way they won. That's what he's saying. They won last year the same way they lost this year. Three Lug had a mishap last year, and it was their turn this year.
Oh, Three Lug always have a mishap. Three Lug got a mishap all the time. Sleeping on a tree, motor not staying together, transmission going out, rear end blowing up. I don't know, man.
They got hard on Three Lug, okay?
Oh, man. You know why I'm hard on Three Lug? Because Three Lug talked. If Three Lug didn't talk, then
it was all
grudge talk, he wouldn't be interested in talk about. But I'll tell you what. I wish Three Lug the best of the program. Drag will be there on May 16th. I know I'll be there. And Larry, you do have another caller on the line. 773-7115.
Okay, before we let the other call in, I want to ask Drag. Hey, Drag, do you think that safety is being taken for granted, Drag, in the grudge racing world?
well, I won't say for granted, but a lot of people don't really recognize how important it is until they have a problem. And I used to be one of them, you know. I just thank God at the time when I did have my incident, I finally started, you know, because of the tracks that I was running at, they were so strict about you having your safety, you know, equipment. I had it on. But is it very, whether a lot of guys realize it or not, it is just important as going fast or having, a complete car ready to go down the racetrack, because that is a part of completing the car. You know, and I think if you got... If you got a car that...
Not to break in, we got one grudge race going down. Hell yeah, and a Mustang against a Mustang Copperhead. They lined up, they double faced. Who y'all? Copperhead, toss up.
I like
that. Still won the race. Up and up. Hell yeah, loser.
I was about to say, I like Copperhead.
Yes, Copperhead. Copperhead. Look, Copperhead come out the hole. He pops up twice. Twice he go up and come down. He'll go down the track and kick your ass.
Hey, look here. Copperhead was in the right lane, wasn't he? Copperhead was in the right lane, wasn't he? Smooth. Okay,
I don't think he heard you, Gunny.
I don't think he heard me. I think he's been back on mute. He's probably running around collecting his money. Yeah. Okay. 773-7115. Your mic is open. I'm sorry. Hold up. Wait a minute. Larry, but you finished with drag and the question.
Yeah. I'm finished with drag. Drag said the best, because what drag said was the same thing, and that's why I'm speaking mostly to the youngsters. When we were younger, we did do that, Gunny. But as we grow older, and had different experiences, got it, it made us more alert and more aware. You know, so now, since the Lord has blessed us gave us the knowledge to turn around and be the experience and try to share it with other people, we think that the younger guys, we want them to live, and we want them to understand exactly what we're saying to them tonight, got it. And I said I was going to specifically specify on this issue tonight because of the simple fact that it's just too much. There's too much dangerous stuff going on out here, man. You know, guys just taking safety for granted, man. And what I'm saying to them, it might go in one ear and come out the other one, but I can't say I told them because of the simple fact that I don't have to say anything, but I'm trying to say something because of the simple fact that that's the reason why I had a title, Mr. Fellowship, man. I've been trying to fellowship with everybody. You know, so with that being said, Gunny, if we got another caller, you can bring the next caller on in.
Okay. Let's see here. 773-773-7115. Your mic is open. Come on into the show.
Good evening now, Mr. Gunny, Larry, D, Drag, if you're still on. What's happening?
What's going on, kid?
Shit, nothing much. Hey, Gunner, I was wanting to let you know the difference between, the word if. It's got a gap in between now.
Between the I and the F.
So, in other words, if the dog hadn't stopped the shit, he'd have caught the rabbit. You get what I'm saying?
Hey, kid, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir, you can.
How's that Shad Pipple tasting tonight?
How's that what?
Shad Pipple. How's that Shad Pipple taste tonight?
I can't. I don't understand what you're saying, guys.
You have to speak English. Oh, so you heard me clearly. Okay. All right, don't fall out that chair, kid. But you all right.
Hold on, guys. And Larry, to further your question, yes, they're taking it for granted. They take the safety for granted because a lot of them, they don't want to buckle up. They don't want to do this and they don't want to do that, especially when they're out there on the streets. It's more dangerous out there on the street than it is on the track. So why not, prepare yourself?
You're right, kid. I agree with you, kid, what you just said then, kid. It definitely is, kid. You know, we didn't lose a few of our friends out there on the streets, too, kid. You know, you back in the same era with me also. You know, and it's just certain things that we have seen, and some of them could have been possibly prevented due to the fact that it would have been just a little bit more safer. You know, so you know, we say what we say, but the man. And the big guy in the sky, he got the last call, but at the same time, he helped them help themselves, man. You know, we just trying to get them guys to try to help themselves, man. You know, this is not all the ice cream and cake game we playing, man. This is a dangerous game, man. You know, and we can kind of narrow it down some by respecting the thing that we're doing, you know, and having a direct understanding about it. So that's all I'm doing, kid, tonight, man. I just wanted to kind of speak on that, man, because I've been hearing shit about people hitting walls and winning races and all that. I don't know, kid. I don't see it. And the reason I don't see it is because of the simple fact that an accident is an accident. But I don't want to encourage no accident. You know, say, for instance, you do hit a wall and you don't severely damage the automobile or hurt yourself. But because of the simple fact that you know that you can go out of your lane and go over and hit a wall and then still go down there and turn a light on, that's giving you a reason, man, that's encouraging you to danger yourself as well as another person that's on the track with you also. Would you say so?
Yep.
What it's doing, Larry, is giving you the courage to try to drive through an accident. And all that does is makes matters worse. That's what it's doing. You know, if you hit a wall and you see the guy hadn't crossed the finish line yet, it's giving you that fake courage to try to regroup that car and drive through it. 99.9, when you hit that wall, you are totally out of control of that car. In fact, I said 99.9. I don't ever recall a person hitting the wall and being in control of a car. If you was, you wouldn't hit the wall. You know,
I didn't see the tie rod. I didn't see them hit the wall and the tie rod break, and they shoot across on the other side. All kind of stuff like that, you know.
But then once again, you know, now, you know, when you got guys that hadn't raced in a long time, 15, 20 years, what can you tell guys that's racing today?
You got that right. Got it. Do we have anybody else on the line? Got it. Because I can't see nothing over here.
Absolutely. Okay. We have 228-1132. Your mic is open. Come on.
Crooked left.
Good evening, gentlemen. How y'all doing this evening?
Hey,
back and join the show. Now, y'all know y'all talking my kind of talk now. Y'all know y'all talking my kind of talk because I am a firm believer to the track, have as much fun as I can possibly have, being as safe as I possibly can, and going home to my family and my friends and getting out and having fun with them afterwards. But, you know, I have said before on a lot of these shows, and people wanted to criticize me about saying a lot of things that I said. But the thing about it is a lot of people always say this when it comes to the tracks. Oh, man, I'm not going there. They got too many rules. You got to have this. You got to have that. You got to have that. And all I got to say about that to them is this. Sit back and think sometimes. Those rules are for your safety. That's for you to be able to make that trip and come back and be safe if anything happens. If you have any kind of catastrophe, mishap, or whatever.
That can't be true. That can't be true. That can't be for our safety, because if it was, we wouldn't be making our own. We got to make our own rules for our safety. I'm on
mute. All I can say is, and I'm going to say that, this about that this time. Regardless of who says what or what is said, you have to remember, only you will take care of yourself. What does Smoker the Bear say when he went out in the woods with you in that camp thing? Only you can prevent forest fires. Only you can help control your safety.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it, Crooked Left. But, Crooked Left, let me ask you this question right quick. Why did we leave the streets and go to the track?
Well, Uncle Larry, there's two reasons for that, really, that I can think of. Number one reason is the cars got too fast for the street, basically. But some people still have a tendency to go out there and race on the street regardless because they don't believe what is being told to them and they don't want to see it. The second thing I can think of is you go to the track to keep down confusion. You got the lights on the other end. You do not have to depend upon somebody's eye to tell you who won. That keeps down a whole lot of confusion on that other end down there. Now, those are the two reasons that I can basically think of. There are more, but those are the two basic reasons.
We left the streets for safety.
I'm going to tell you my reason.
Years ago, we were down on Damon and Fulton.
Vernon
Jr., and I forgot who else he was running. But, down near the finish line, you know, the street, you know, how the streets are crossed. And down near the finish line, it was the Mexican guy sitting back in the dark, you know, he had a little fun with his girlfriend. Now, can you imagine if a whole bunch of us color went down there near the finish line and gathered up around him? You know what he was getting ready to do, don't you?
Pull out.
He was getting ready to leave up out of that spot where he was having his fun at. And can you imagine these two cars coming down there, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Man, please. So that's why, you know, I don't care for that street racing shit no more. Mm-mm.
Actually, a lot of people said they left the street for safety.
But those cars are not safe on the street whatsoever. You know what I'm saying? Because basically, anybody that drives cars that's got any kind of forethought about it or whatever knows that on that big end down there, when you cross that 300-foot mark or whatever, you are in that car basically pointing and aiming. Because you cannot drive that car. You cannot drive that car. All you can do is just hope for it to go straight and hope you can hold it straight. That's it. You cannot drive that car. Once that car gets loose, you might as well live and just let it go. You can forget about it. That race is over. Board it. Be through with it because you go out there spinning from side to side, going across the road, across the track or whatever, you're going to end up in a bad situation 9 out of 10 times. You know, a lot of people always say, oh, man, he drove that car. He drove that car because he got close to one wall, got close to another wall, and he got lucky, and he straightened the car up, or the car straightened up, or however you want to put it. He did not drive that car. He was just lucky. That's all that was.
He was along for the ride. That's what you're saying.
That's it. He was along for the ride. He was just lucky.
Well, listen, man, listen. A lot of people left the streets for safety. A lot of people left the streets for the fact the police did get rough. At one point in time, they got just unbearable at taking cars. I mean, they took my car and kept it for 3 days, you know. At one point, they just got unbearable taking cars. So it came down to where guys just, it's like they had a unannounced meeting and said, we're all going to just start going to the track. But once you started going to the track, you should have been able to wake up and realize this is just a. Let me say it like this. Me and two of my real good friends, I mean 30 plus years of friendship, was talking a few days ago, and we were saying how it makes your knees shake just to ride by Doty now, and think of how you have ran fast cars down through there, and at the finish line you going in a curve.
Yep.
It makes your knees shake to think about how you have walked probably 200 people at a time up a ramp the wrong way, along with other cars driving up a ramp the wrong way to go up on the skyway, which is a federal offense that we gave no thought to at that time. But you think about it now because you know, a couple days older you went in. And I drive 18-wheeler. I know how much room it really takes to stop one of them things. And just imagine one of those things coming down that ramp, and we walking up that ramp. A couple of cars going up that ramp the wrong way.
Yeah.
All this factored into going to the track and getting off the street.
And we learned.
But once you got once you got the track, you wanted to reform the track. You didn't want the track to reform you. You want to go there and tell the track what rules to make.
And we learned better, too. We definitely learned better because we used to go up it the wrong way. There's a lot of us won't go up the wrong way now, you know.
Like I said, man.
You
live and you learn.
You get out here and you learn. You learn.
That's
a lot of them don't have the experience that we've had because they haven't had the happenings with them that we have had, you know. And we just trying to make a shortcut for them and give it to them now. Before it's too late, because when we left the streets, we came to the track. If we come there for safety, you understand, then that means that those people there are already established. So with them being established, when we come there, we can't bring off of the street what's going on there, because it was unsafe where we were, and we coming to a safer place. So it's got to be better. In my own personal opinion, it has to be better. But with that being said, I want to make an announcement. I want to take a commercial break for 1 second, and I want to talk about the Motor City Mafia / Young Money. We got a race coming up on the 9th, which is next Saturday. On Friday, we're going to have a party, and the party that we're going to have is going to be held at the East English Bar and Grill. I got a little. Hey, Gunner, do you still have that commercial on there? Could you play that commercial for me, Gunner?
Absolutely.
Or do you still have it over there? I want everybody to hear this.
All right, hang on for just a second, and here we go. Here's the commercial break.
Yeah. Throw that in.
Motor City Mafia, Clockstar, Young Money Racing. Motor City Mafia Godfather debut party, Friday, May 8th, 2015, from 9 p.m. until at the East English Village Bar and Grill. Special invited guests, John Ford, Garnet Pitt, and Detroit Hood TV. The Godfather is taking over the grudge game. Come party and have a good time with the Mafia before the execution starts. Remember. Nobody moves, nobody gets hurt. Come party with Little Tony. And when Little Tony the Don speaks, the grudge world should be at attention. Come party with Detroit's elite, the Motor City Mafia, Young Money, Downtown Sound. It's a WW promotion.
I wanted y'all to hear that, man. And the reason I wanted everybody to hear that, on the 8th, May 8th, I'm hoping that everybody will come to the grudge racing party so we can get it in, because we're going to have us a ball down there, y'all. And I want y'all to come. That would be the pre-program before the race. And, hey, it's going to be laid out. It's going to be rolling. I heard the commercial earlier today, and I thought about it. And I thought that it would be good to take a commercial break and throw that in there while we're having the conversation that we have. And, you know, because I'm going to be looking forward to seeing each and every one of you all, man, to come down there and let's get it in. And a lot of people I haven't met, I want to meet, you know, and I hope y'all feel the same way about me. But I want y'all to come, and I want y'all to come and enjoy yourselves with us. And with that being said, we're going to get right on back into the program. We got anybody else on?
No, right now you have a full show.
Not right now? Okay, well, we can go ahead and get it in then.
Let me say this right quick, too. This was something I heard said on the Big Sham show, too. You know, when you're on the street, those lanes are certain width, and that's how they made. I mean, it is what it is. You at the track, those lanes are considerably wider. So when you say that you should be able to do whatever you want to do in your lane, that's why they give you extra room for all that wiggling and stuff. They give you extra. They allot it for that. In other words, what am I saying? What am I really saying? This is something else that the rule committee had thought of years ago before these super smarter jokers we have today. I guess they feel they got to think it's fun, but they already thought of it. So those lanes are much wider. You could take a lane off the street and put it on the track two times. You know, there's a reason for it.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, hey, D, you know what? I be listening to a lot of these programs, D, and when I listen to them, I hear a lot of the guys, they emphasize on the center line. The center line is important, too. But you also have a side where there is no line. But you also have a lane. And the lane, you have to, anytime you break away from that lane that you're in, it could be a problem. You know, and a lot of folks want to say, well, as soon as you hit the center line, you lose, and so forth and so on. Well, what about when you hit the other line? It's two lines now. You got a line on the left side, you got one on the right side.
I'm gonna tell you something I heard the other night. I didn't comment on it. I just heard a state. I heard this guy that talks too much and know too much, not to know nothing. I heard him say this other night. He said if a car red light, he lose. But then they went into the first to worst. Now I'm gonna ask a few guys on this station tonight. That's I've heard a few of them voices, and I know they've been around racing a long time. Yeah, I value their opinion. I think they know a little bit. I want one of them to tell me what's the worst, red light or hitting the wall?
Hitting the wall.
Anyone else Johnny. Think red light or hitting the wall?
Hitting the wall.
How you doing, man? How you doing, man? How you doing?
That's just a few guys that can think. I mean,
we think, man.
But I heard a guy say the other night that if you hit the wall, as long as you stay in your lane, you should be able to win if you cross the finish line first. A bigger fool than a white mouth mule.
I know one thing. I'll say it this way here. They say what you step in your race, that's the way your race go. I can go along with that. But Lord knows, when we do decide to come back and start back racing, you'll never hear us step nothing about that wall. Because I don't believe you can hit that wall and not be the one through the traps and win. You might be able to win somebody else in that way, but you can't win. I was that way.
I'm just trying to make sure that I get this understood
with these guys. So, you know, if that's what they want to do, then it's fine by me. But I'm just saying, it's so dangerous. Lord knows it's dangerous.
I got accused of not saying anything about that when Three Love hit the wall. They said you speak on everything else. And my question was, what was to say other than, are you okay? Did you get hurt? Because the deciding factor in the race had been decided already. If you hit the wall, hard, soft, scrape, whatever you want to call it, if you do it past the 13-20, it has no bearings at all on the race. It shouldn't even be spoken of other than being concerned about the man's safety then. Because the race is over. If you run the eighth and you hit the wall at 661, you did not impure that man at all. You didn't do it. If you run out the back door and you hit at 13-21, you did nothing to affect his progress. So the race is over. So what's it say? Other than, is the man safe? That should be your only concern then. Well, of course, you know, me being the spotlight, me being the person I am with the spotlight on my back that they do have on me, I don't know why, because I'm just someone that likes racing. I was accused of not saying nothing about Three Love hitting the wall, which I did speak on it, but it was nothing to say. Other than, man, hope he's safe. He hit the wall after the race is over.
But when that happened, D, it was no controversy. You see what I'm saying? When it happened the other way, it was controversy. See, it was no controversy.
Because the race wasn't over.
Yeah. You know,
but
the race was over.
Hit the wall, the race was over. It's more than likely going to always be a controversy when. I want to say this right quick. You know, I heard some guys known as preachers. They write books and it says written off the Bible. And my thing would be, why not just buy the Bible? All these verses came out of there. This is what I see happening when they say, we're going to make our own rules up. Well, if we make our own rules up, I'm almost guaranteed they're going to come out of the books that already have the rules. And what you were saying earlier about stepping, man, you should be able to step anything your little heart desire in your race if you can get your opponent to agree to it, good. But after you get past all your steps, when you get all the steps out the way, now run by the rules that set. The rules don't affect your steps. Yes, sir.
D. Yeah. Let me tell you a little secret.
if you're going to step a race with me, you and I going to race. If you step to me and say, if I hit the wall and stay in my lane, I still win. I'm tell you go to hell. You race yourself.
No, hold on, Crook. Don't even approach me with that, because I would never even. I wouldn't even say somebody with a 10-speed bike. I would say
that. I know that.
That's what I'm talking about with a car.
If a person said to me that you hit the wall and still win that race, and don't you stay in your lane, I'm going to go to hell. You race yourself.
I said the exact same thing. I know, Crook, believe me, I know what you mean, man. I was just being official with it. That's the whole thing in a nutshell, man. My whole thing is, I don't understand, Crook. I don't understand how the North, being as sharp as they are, has allowed the South to bring that mess up here and then basically, what's the word I'm looking for? Impregnate their mind.
Well, D, but the thing about it is, I'm going to tell you something.
I had never heard of hitting the wall winning until the Florida race.
Hold on, D. Now, the show the other night on Big Sam's show, they showed you then that the North got that bullshit on their mind, too. They told
you. And a lot of more people up here has talked about this. I've asked that question of several guys, and a lot of them has answered to me they had never heard of it until that Florida race. Now, hear what I say. I said they have allowed the South to impregnate their mind with it.
What am I saying? It wasn't on your mind before. It's there now. Hey, Crooked Letter, I'm trying to leave y'all with one that's real sharper than that. I'm finna put y'all in trouble. Would y'all please tell me what is a grudge track rule? That's what I want. Tell me what is a grudge track rule.
I'm on mute.
I've never heard that before in my life, so maybe one of y'all can explain that to me. What is a grudge track rule?
Everything I have ever seen on grudge races says no time shown, no tickets, and no rules. That's it. That's what I've seen on grudge races.
Well, let me say this to that. You know how many years we have done that at the track? All you do is put a big old circle on your one with a slash through it. That means no clock. So there's no time shown. And you race for your money. I mean, what they feel that they got to make the rules up, I don't know. But once again, you know, when I say things, they got a bullseye on my back, so they like to fight me. They're just too dumb to realize they didn't want to sound illiterate, not me.
N/T or H/T, that's no time or hold time.
Man, they allowed the South to bring that garbage up here and impregnate their mind with that junk. Rude. Rick was the first one I ever heard using. I never even heard that paragraph before. Until I heard Rick say, no, grudge track rule. That's the first time I've heard it.
All I've been knowing about is stipulations. And all we have been stipulations in racing, period. Because, and I'm going to ask you a question. Let me ask y'all a question.
Somebody got some background noise. What is that? Who got all that background noise? Somebody got a lot of background noise.
That's not me, baby. I'm on mute. Get us a man.
You class racing or you shootout racing? Or any type of pro comp rating, pro stock rating, whatever you're doing, you are still doing one thing only. You still drag racing with a name. That's all it is. And the rules for all those I just came from is drag racing rules. They're not pro stock rules. They're not shootout rules. They're not class crawl rules. They are rules. Class cars have different rules set aside in there for a class. A certain car, a certain engine, a certain tire size.
And the killing part about that, Crook, they don't change with every race go down the quarter. They don't change.
No,
they etch the stone. Like, hey, man, I'm going to tell you again. I never heard of no such thing as grudge track rules until I heard Mr. 901 say it. He was the first one I ever heard of grudge track rules. Now you being told this is a grudge track, and that's not a grudge track. I'm going to tell you all what a grudge track is. A grudge track is any so-and-so track you go to that you bid some money against your opponent. That's what a grudge track truly is. Of course, I know I'm going to get a fight behind that, and I'll probably gather on the phone with some of the guys that they say in the bushes, I'm going to get a fight behind them, you know. He just knows
everything. Well, a grudge race, I ain't never heard of a grudge race being you got to have one carburetor, a small block sitting on stock suspension 10-5. A grudge race to me has been two cars, feel like yeah, get your ass in the lane, let's see what you got. That's been a grudge race to me.
That's what grudge racing was, but you know that came a time where they.
I don't give a damn much. You got no 1432s up under.
Yeah, you supposed to try that. You supposed to try that. I mean, even though you know you're gonna get beat, but you supposed to try that. Yeah.
I just never heard of nothing like that before because the track. You know, the track has its rules before you come there. Okay, if you step something into your race, then that's one thing. But if you don't step something in your race, and because you do stuff like that, that don't automatically go into play because you're not racing yourself. You're racing somebody else. You know, so with that being said, you and the other person got to come into an agreement with that. If that's the kind of agreement that y'all want to make, then y'all make that kind of agreement. But to me, it's too much danger involved in it, man. You know, in my own personal opinion.
I'm gonna say something else. I've been hearing a lot of lately too that I've been hearing a whole lot of. Just because you got a small block and I have a big block doesn't necessarily mean that I'm supposed to just give you a spot because you got a small block. I might have a mediocre big block, and you might have a hellish small block. You know, you might be 2 seconds faster. What the hell I look like giving you a spot for? Just because my car looks fast doesn't make it fast. Grudge racing, two cars going down the track because one person said that they think they can outrun the other. That's all grudge racing is. Now, if you come into play, whereas you see these cars run and you know that you're faster than this car, this, that, and other, then we're going to go old school on it. Okay, I'm talking to you, D, now. You got that gear. You put that damn piece of tin out in front of me, out there, I'm going to give you 10 colors and I'm going to run over you. Or you tell me, you put your piece of tin out there in front of me and I'm going to give you 10 colors and I'm going to run over you. That's only making it fair because you know basically about what I run. You know that you're faster than me. But these days here, and I said it before and I say it again, grudge racing. These days, the definition of grudge racing is who can trick who the best. All grudge racing is. That's all it is. There's no competitiveness about it or anything. Everybody wants a for sure win. If I got a car that runs 10.05 and you got a car that runs 10.0s, then we can't race each other. You know, me, myself, I know if I got a 10.05 car, I can beat you. All I got to do is free you. I'm taking a chance. That's what grudge racing is all about. You taking a chance. A lot of people don't want to do that. They want you to be running 1150s and they running 990s. And they beat the hell out of you and they, we played the gap man on his ass. Well, you were supposed to.
Yeah. But you know what, Crooked Ladder, I can address that, Crooked Ladder, and when I can address that, I'm going to say this here. And this is only formally, I want to make sure that we understand this, so don't nobody say, well, Larry was doing this and doing that. This is only formally my opinion. And my opinion is this here. A big block has way more capabilities than a small block does. When you start going into these bigger classes and so far and so on, you never see a small block. You always see a big block. You know, a big block will always have the advantage over a small block. I don't care how much you turn around and you can get out of a small block. the big block on all, you can do so much more and get so much more out of that big block than you can the small block. So my thing, what it is, this here, if I got a big block and a guy got a small block, I'm going to walk around here. And it's not because I'm afraid of it, but it's because of the simple fact of the ability that I know that I have that he don't have. You know, so.
Well, but you can't be sure that these days, though, I'm glad, because you got to just come at you with a small block. It's dressed in a basically a stock block, but it's a 421. And it's making 900 horses, where you're coming at him with a 700 horse big block. You can't see what's inside.
Yep.
You know, you got to see inside the motor.
I'll agree with you.
I'll agree with you.
When we're in certain categories, I'll agree with you. 100%. But my thing, what it is, if a guy got a righteous small block and a guy got a righteous big block, guess who I'm gonna take? I'm gonna take that righteous big block.
Yeah.
You know why? Because it's so much more room for things to be done than it is for the small block. See, a small block got its limitations, which a big block has its limitations too. But when you get to the end of that big block's limitations, Lord have mercy, what you got? You know, it's so much further than that. It's so much further and over that small block, you know, because it's just like the Buick boys were saying, you know, they got a certain level that they can go to and they just can't go no further. You know, and that's just it. You know, so
yeah,
I don't know. If we was just straight up grudge racing, Crooked Leather, I think a guy need to go in and do his picking real well if he got a small block. You know. I think he should do his picking real well. Yeah. If they're gonna be messing with the big blocks, because that big block will hurt you.
But what I'm saying though, like this is the Uncle Larry, this is my point right here though. It all depends person that you're dealing with and how his pockets can dictate what he does with that big motor. He may not be able to dictate out of his pocket or after the block to get those gigantic cube gears. He may be using a stock block, and all he can do is up to like 540 cubic inches at the most.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying? Well, that's with a stock block. But then you got aftermarket or the bow tie block that you can go 632 with. But he may not be one of those types. It just depends on who you dealing with at that time. If you're dealing with somebody that, and you know what I'm saying, you really need to do your homework and know your opponents anyway. You don't go into nothing blind. You better be trying to watch to see what's going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you can basically,
yeah.
I'm not saying you know exactly how fast a car is, but you have a damn good idea about how fast a car is. And you know how fast yours is. And you can watch some of the people that he run or have ran during that year, and you can gauge it on some of that stuff. Because maybe somebody you ran, somebody that beat you, and you know how bad they beat you, that person there, you know what I'm saying, you go to them and say, well, look, hey, man, all I need is, you know, the break. Let me get up out of there. Let me get some real estate up out of there. Because the person that he beat, he may not beat him about maybe more than a half a fender or something like that or whatever. And you know, if you get that break, you can get out there on it. You stand a chance. You know what I'm saying? It's about chances. That's what it's really about. You're taking a chance. Anytime you gamble, you're taking a chance. But see, you don't want to take that chance. It's not a sure thing that your car is going to go down the track straight like it's supposed to every time. But you have to take a chance. You know what I'm saying? And me, myself, a competitive race is the best race in the world to me. I don't want to go out there and beat a man 15, 20 car lengths. You know what I'm saying? That's not a competitive race. If I run you and your car had a problem, okay, I got to win. I'll take that win. Okay, Uncle Larry, we'll do it again when you get your car straightened out. I'm not going to run from you.
Right. Well, my only parable that I was making Crooked Leather is just like this here. I'm going to say this for instance. How many small blocks you don't want to run down yet?
No, right now, unless it is somebody with class car with double turbos on it, you know what I'm saying, or something like that. But that's, you know what I'm saying, as they say, exotic, the extreme or whatever. But, you know, but other than that, you know what I'm saying, that's understandable. That's just like I tell people all the time, pro stock. Pro stock shows that small blocks run with big blocks because, you know what I'm saying, they gave him a weight break and they still compete. They're only 500 cubic inches.
Right. Now, if he fooled around and take that big block, he fooled around and take that big block out and put a small block in there, don't you think he'd get more action?
Just about anybody.
I won't just use him for a parable. I can use a whole lot of the other elite players that's in the game. You know, when it comes to that, you know, a small block's capability is just, in my opinion, when it comes to messing with a big block, he's limited. It all depends on the person that has the big block.
So you said a person with a big. It's Terrell, y'all. What's going on, guys? How you doing?
All right, Terrell, come on in. What you say now?
So you saying that a person with a big block would get less action than a person with a small block?
No. What I'm saying is, if you're taking a small block, and going around trying to run nothing but big blocks, you got a problem. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Would you agree with that? Give me your opinion.
Yeah. Cause if a small block starts knocking out big blocks, then he messes his action up. But nobody with a small block gonna run him.
Nobody with a big block don't want to run him.
Okay. For example, little Tony got a small block and he's trying to race all small blocks. So if he jump in the ring with some big blocks and knocks some big blocks off, all the small block actions, the Ducks are not gonna race him.
Yeah,
I mean, that's my opinion on it. I guess what his gamble is. Yeah.
But you know, Terrell, but you know this, though? I'm going to tell you a little secret. There are some small blocks that could do the same thing, could go out and knock some of them big blocks off right now, but they're scared. And it ain't about action either. It's just they're scared of them. You know what I'm saying? It's like I'm saying, grudge racing ain't about you go out there. If you go out there and you jump on a big block, and that big block beat the line out your head, you know what this man. Okay, now this man has been beat by five or six people above, you know, in the same class with him. You know, you jump on the just say, listen, I got the slowest big block in Dunyea done class. You come and jump on me, all the rest of them to beat me. You know, good way you need to get the hell out of that class if I beat you. Don't even mess with it. But if you come in there and you beat me and you beat me convincingly, well, hell, go try some of them other ones. Because you ain't going to go back and run no small blocks no way, like you said. They ain't going to want to run you no way because you're probably going to be to beat all the small blocks anyway. It's a known fact that if
like
you beat the wrong person, you lose action.
Like I said, it's gambling, man. You got to take a chance. Anything can happen.
That's it.
Some guys win by default. Some guys win by a head-up race.
Well, you know, me, myself, personally, Terrell, I'd rather win by a head-up race every time than to win by default. I'll take that default loss, but Terrell, fix your car, come back and try me again. I give you a chance to get it back.
You can't.
I want to beat you. When I beat you, I want to beat you at your best so I can say I really beat you.
Right. You can't even brag about winning by default.
Right. I can't guess in my head. Well, I don't know if I could have beat him or not. But if I go out there and step foot off in that ass, then I'm going to tell you, Terrell, I step foot off in that ass. You don't want no more.
You can't get bragging rights. You win by default.
Right. Then next thing you say, give me the break. Okay, if I go out there and I give you the break, then step off in that ass again, then you know time to stay. It's time for me to regroup or leave that man alone. I don't care if you got a big block or small block. Then, you know what I'm saying? We run big block, or small block, you know what I'm saying? When that kind of stuff happens to you, it's time to step down. It's, hey, man down, step down. Time to regroup. We need a better play. You know what I'm saying? Like what did the boy say to Jaw when he was throwing that shit overboard for that shot? He saw Jaw. We need a bigger boat.
Yeah,
right.
Jaw's coming at
you.
We need a bigger boat.
Yes, sir. Terrell, you coming to the event on the 8th of the night?
Yeah. Yeah, I got anybody want to ride? I got room.
Come pick me up
from Chicago. Okay.
Man, I'm just teasing, man. I'm just teasing. Oh, man. I would like to
go. Anybody from Chicago want to go down there, you know what I'm saying? I got room and they want to travel.
Yeah. Mineland, Michigan, y'all. Hey, y'all, it's finally they got here, man. We getting ready to open up this Midwest, y'all. Getting ready to open up the Midwest, y'all. We're going to get a chance to see what's going down. Terrell, you ready? You ready yet, Terrell?
No, man. No, I had a dilemma, man, with the machine shop, man. But they're going to get me out this week. Yeah.
Okay. Come when you can, bro.
Hey, Larry, I posed a question on Facebook. Get the floor for a minute. I'm going to ask my opinion from the grudge racers out there. My question is, if you're in a grudge race and the person in the back crossed the center line or sideswipes the wall on his side and gains control of his vehicle, and he's behind the guy who's leading him, and he having to gain control and get back in his groove and go around the person that was in front and wins the race, she get disqualified to win the race. But
okay.
he did not interfere with the other car because he's in the back wrecking. She get disqualified or should he win the race?
Disqualified, Terrell. I tell you, disqualified because, see, first of all, like we've been trying to tell you all the time, that wall over there is a boundary. If you touch it with any part of your car, you're supposed to be disqualified. And that's the way it should be. Ain't no need even trying to stiff no something in that race to, you know what I'm saying? Because, like I said a little while ago, if you go to race me and you tell me the stipulation is going to be I can hit the wall and come back into my lane, and I'm going to tell you, hell to the no, I don't want to race you. You're a dangerous man.
And Terrell, I did some checking, Terrell, on the incident that happened with you.
Yeah.
If one guy leaves and turns the red on, and the other guy comes from behind and he crosses the center line, the guy that turned the red light on, he the one that wins the money, man. Not the guy that went across the center line.
First to worst.
Yep, we did a little checking in the book earlier today, and the one that crossed the center line would be the one that ended up losing the race.
Oh, I mean, I got some credit. I mean, I got some grudge in credit then.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. So because reason why I posed that question, because when I ran Three Lug and Martin, Three Lug sideswiped the wall. But he got back into it and he was trying to catch me. Now this is in 2013 or 12. You know, those rules weren't imposed back then. When he grazed the wall, he stepped back to it and tried to catch me. Now if Three Lug would have caught 131, I paid in 2013.
I don't know. I don't know the rule of that. I don't know the track rules at 31.
Because we raced. We didn't say about track rules. It was a grudge race between me and Three Lug. Now, we're talking about 2 years ago. You know what I'm saying? And that incident happened when he sideswiped the wall. He got back in the groove. He tried to catch me